Father, we receive your favor. We receive your blessing today, Lord. Lord, God, may we walk in it. May we walk in it. May we exercise faith to walk in obedience, God, to your request. God, we submit ourselves now to your word, and I pray that as your word is proclaimed today, God, even as one testified earlier, I came from darkness to light. May that be true today, God, in the lives of those that are here, God, who have yet to surrender. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. God, take the message to the earth today. In your name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give it up for our worship team today, would you? Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to speak to you today a message that I've entitled Navigating Through Faith. Noah, Navigating Through Faith. Today we continue that series that the Lord has been ministering to me on faith. We defined it biblically, Hebrews 11:1. We said faith was the confidence in what we were hoping for. How many of you seated here today are still hoping for something? Some of you are hoping for healing, amen. Some of you are hoping for a deliverance. Maybe not for you, maybe for someone in your family. You know? Man, if you just, we asked for testimonies today, but if you were to get the real story, how many of you heard from your ears today? You heard people say, I went down a rough road, a rocky road. I went, you know, come on, this is what this is all about. I went down a different road. And we are talking to people today who all can relate to that in some way, shape, form, or fashion about our past. And as we preach today, I come against that spirit of law that condemns, and release a spirit of liberty and grace for those of you who are struggling in some area of your life. And I believe that in Jesus' name. Confidence in what we hope for. Assurance, here we go, of what we really cannot see. That's faith. You step out in faith. I mean, you really, think about it. Salvation, you express faith. And you believe in the cross. You've heard it, you read the story, and then at some point or some juncture in your life, you say, Lord, I confess my sins, knowing you're faithful and just to forgive, and I come to you for me. This time it's me, Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Monumental faith is measured by extent. We said it's measured by greatness, size. We've noted in the messages that you can have great faith, you can have little faith, or you can have no faith. You say, Pastor, how could you have no faith? Well, the Bible says without faith, Okay? Without faith is what? No faith. So you can have it on any level. And monumental faith, we discovered, here we go, here's the inaudible. You hear something that the world is not telling you. Monumental faith sees what is invisible right now, but you're seeing it in the spirit realm. And monumental faith does the impossible. Today we look into the life and purpose of a man who I would consider, you can choose whomever you like, but I think today this man named Noah, to me, is the greatest biblical example of faith that I've found from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, I know Abraham gets a lot of credit. We're going to talk about him next week or the week after, one of them. But I believe Noah goes down, in my mind, as a man who had more faith than anybody I've seen in the Bible. And you say, why, Pastor? Well, I'm going to share that story with you today. Hebrews 11, 7, take your phone, iPad, whatever you're looking at, your device, your Bible, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, the verses number 7. And it reads simply like this: by faith, somebody say by faith, by faith, Noah, when, I've underscored this for you, when warned, okay, he was warned by God. I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the Holy Spirit can give us warning. In the next few weeks, we'll be talking about spiritual gifts on Wednesday nights, and one of those great valued gifts is the spirit of what? Discernment. Where you are able to tap into the spiritual arena, the spiritual realm, and sometimes, my friends, God can give you warning. Sometimes you can feel something in the recesses of your spirit and your mind, and you just feel an uneasiness. The modern day word for young people is vibe, okay? That's in my vocabulary, so therefore I'm young, all right? It's a vibe. It's a spiritual vibe, okay, that you receive that comes from him, not you. You're not gauging it by what you see, come on, but you're gauging it by what you discern. Hebrews 11, 7, he was warned about things, here we go, not yet seen. I love this. In holy fear, we'll define that for you momentarily. In holy fear, built an ark. Eat your heart out, Grady White, Greenville, North Carolina. Your boats are nothing, okay? They're nice boats, but nothing compared to the ark of safety that God spoke to Noah to build. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with the faith. We just witnessed people who received an heir of righteousness because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We come to salvation. Noah here didn't have a Jesus to die on the cross for him. Come on, think about this. We're in the old covenant this morning. He didn't have Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Bible says Abraham did what? Believed. And it was credited to him as righteousness. By faith, Noah did what? He believed, and he became an heir of righteousness that is in keeping with what? Faith in God, okay? So you listen, you need to understand the Bible from Old Covenant to New Covenant, and you're not living in the Old Covenant, but you borrow the teachings, the precepts, the types, the shadows, here we go, from the Old Covenant to help us understand the New Covenant. Okay, what an amazing book. In fact, just for clarity, let me this morning take a look at a couple of other translations today. I like to do that when I'm studying the Bible, just to allow the perspective to sink into my spirit, to gel in my mind. From the New Living Translation, the NLT, it reads like this: it was by faith Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him, there we go, about things that had never happened before. God speaks to Noah prophetically about things that had never, ever happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, that is, their thinking, their perspective, their behaviors, their activities. He says, I condemn that, and I receive a righteousness that is by faith. And then finally this morning, from the work of Eugene Patterson, a collection that we call The Message. Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. Told by who? Told by God. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. Did you catch that? By faith, his action drew a sharp line between the believing world and the non-believing world. That's what you're called. That's what you do every day you get out of bed. You get up and you walk out your faith, and when you step out of your house to go to your job, even when you clock in, you are in the midst many times of people in a non-believing world that you work with. I love T.D. Jakes' series on how to win in a hostile work environment. Go on, Jakes. How to win in a hostile work environment. Get ready, get ready, get ready. That's what he said, right? Come on. We all got our little phrases. I'm told that the worship team laughs when Rico or somebody gives one of my little phrases out. I've been watching y'all. Here we go. All right, here we go. Preach, teach, Pastor. I know I got some habits. That's okay. You must like them. You come back every week. Okay. Okay. And so by faith, Noah built his ship on dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see, acted on faith. The result, his family was saved. His act of faith drew the sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. Noah became very personally connected to his Creator. Let's pray together. Lord, today we come to you in faith. We gather, we worship, we anticipate, we submit ourselves, Father, to you, to your word. May you speak to our hearts, Lord. For those of us who are already in the walk of faith, God, may your word strengthen us. May you take us, God, to newer heights, to deeper depths. Take us to a faith that sees with clarity your will for us. Some of us struggle with that. God, help us to discover your will. Help us to exercise faith for healing, for deliverance, and for exploits, God, in the lives of those that you bring to us, that you put in our paths. Lord, for others today, may the faith for salvation be experienced. Speak to our hearts. Reveal yourself. Draw us to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. This I pray in Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. Amen and amen. I'm truly amazed at this one verse. I'm truly amazed at this one verse of Hebrews 11, 7 can be, and I see this dynamic all the time, and I'm thinking, like, God, like, what? That one verse, somebody say one verse. This two sentences, okay? Hebrews 11, 7. Just this one verse that really embodies four entire chapters in the book of Genesis. One verse. I've been speaking on the phone with people sometime, and I say, yeah, like Sunday, I preached on so-and-so and so, and like 2-3 minutes later, and this is what the Lord said, yada, yada, yada. They said, well, why did it take you 45 minutes on Sunday morning? You just gave me the whole version in 2 seconds, in 15, 20 seconds. This is what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can just say in a nutshell. And this is what happens here in Hebrews 11, 7. It really gives the story of Noah. And I want to extract four things as I look at it. When I look at Scripture, I look down from above, and I want to see. I just helped a team write a sermon just this past week. And they said, Pastor, what do you see? I said, well, this is what I see. I'm looking down at the passage, and I see, and I'm not preaching the sermon. I just wrote it. I see a passage here that reveals five things. Okay? Wow. Tell us what you see. And so what I try to do when I look at Scripture is I look down from above, be objective, and let the Scripture speak for itself. Come on, preacher. let the scriptures do the preaching. Because if I do the preaching, I'm going to mess it up. If I give you all of my opinions and all of my perspectives, then I'm probably going to potentially mess something up. Let the scriptures do the teaching, okay? Let the Bible do the talking. Let God do the talking, okay? So here's what I see as I look down at Hebrews 11, 7, that number one, Noah's faith heard God's warning. Noah's faith heard, okay? Noah's faith heard God's warning. Look at the first part of 11:7. I call it 7a. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen. That's just need to stop right there and talk about that for a bit. Notice here, Noah's on a level with God that brings him a warning. You know, how many times have people said to you, if you're a pastor in the building, well, you know, I just thought I'd ask you because you got a direct line. Anybody ever said that to you as a pastor? Man, everybody's got a direct line, okay? I know I thought I'd ask you, Pastor Wallace, because you're a step ahead. No. I got the same access that you do, okay? We have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, and we have the consequences and the circumstances that God often uses to speak to our hearts. In fact, there are people sitting in this room right now. Some of you are in the middle of a mess, okay? I'm just telling you. You say, oh, he's going to tell my stuff today. No, I just know the room's full of people. And anytime you got a room full of people, you got a room full of mess. Because people are messy. Life is messy. Somebody said, preach. Thank you, one person who agrees with me this morning, that life is messy, okay? Life is messy. And guess what? I got mess, okay? I've been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit for a number of years, but I still encounter mess, okay? And so the Bible teaches us that Noah hears from God by faith. He's warned, okay? This is something he can't see in the natural, but the spiritual gives him a download. Remember last week we focused. You say, how does he get the download? Because he's walking with God. We talked about Enoch last week. Enoch used that terminology, walking with God, because that was God's description of him. God says, he walked with me, which is translated what? Pleasing. He pleased God. Why? Because he walked with God, and walking with God pleases God. And so in the middle of your mess, I challenge you to get the priority straight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Get it right in the spirit, and the natural life will follow. Can somebody say amen? You got to get it right in the spiritual. You got to, listen, you just got to get things in order in your spirit life. Because your life is going, as your spirit life is going. We're going to get to some other things, but whatever you give back to God, he multiplies back to you. So if you give your heart to him, he multiplies your heart back to you in incredible ways by giving you a download of spiritual gifts and abilities that are not in your DNA, okay? That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's the fruit of being connected with him. Man, this is a mouthful today. Come on. It's just true. We talked about walking with God. There's a prophetic sense of what God is showing Noah. Noah, whose name in the Hebrew, Noah, listen to this, man. Your name in the Hebrew, you don't know what your name in the Hebrew means, do you? Okay? Well, after today, you will. You know what your name in the Hebrew means? It means to rest. And I thought about you when I was studying this. I thought, man, that's kind of like Noah. He's like nonchalant, okay? He's like nothing seems to kind of... I've never seen you when I would say, man, you see Noah? Noah's stressed. Where's Holly at? Holly, tell me about Noah. Let's just have a live conversation here. Tell me about Noah. You know, he's your son. You're only talking to the world here. It's not a problem, okay? But he's what? Is he pretty even keeled? Pretty much, okay. Okay, say what? Okay, did you hear that? Sometimes he's a little more chilled than I want him to be. Now, some of you parents are saying, what? I got to tell my kids, chill. And sometimes she says, he's a little more chilled than I want him to be. I'm giving you a compliment. I really am. But honestly, a lot of you parents in the room would like to have one that was chilled, wouldn't you? Come on. Man, you say, man, I got to chill my kids out. And this lady's saying sometimes he's too chilled, okay? you know, he's just kind of nonchalant, okay? Nothing really messes him up. Reese is saying all the more, man, I like this guy. I like this guy. Because Reese has probably got drama in her life, so she's going to bring you drama, okay? She's probably got all the energy. Where's Reese's mama at, okay? She's probably bringing the emotion to the relationship, okay? And Noah's just rock steady, okay? Whatever shall be, okay? But your name means this, Noah. It means rest. It means repose. It means relax. It means you have a sense about you of tranquility, okay? And I've watched you, man. I'm as a pastor, I'm looking at all the kids, but looking at all the people in the church, and I'm watching you, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, dude, this guy's got basketball, he's got music, he's got school, he's got, you know, he's got all kinds of stuff. Piano he's doing, singing, worship team. Got all this stuff going on, but he's still pretty peaceable, okay? Why? Because his name means a sense of tranquility, a sense of rest and peace. This man of faith, Noah. Some of y'all are going to be going home today. What does my name mean? No wonder. Mama, why'd you name me this? Okay? Yes. Okay. Listen, sometimes it names are, especially in biblical days, names were extremely significant. Okay? Think about last week, Methuselah. Methuselah, what does that mean? When he is dead, judgment will come. Remember that? Okay? So I'm going to teach. I'm going to give you some things to chew on, things to take home with you. And you need to understand, Noah, in the midst of what God called him to do, man, he needed to be able to be a person of tranquility. Because he's going to shout a message for how long? 120 years. Same sermon. Nobody responded. You got that? Same sermon. 120 years. No converts. Wow. Noah's walking in faith. And Paul reminds us of this in the New Testament as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. Paul says what? We live by faith and not by sight. This is the M.O. for the Christian, guys. This is the M.O. This is the way it is for Christians. You follow Christ. You do so by what? By faith. And your walk of faith translates to your entire life. And you walk out your life with what? Faith in God. Okay? You trust. You just looked at 17 candidates who said, I'm just so glad I just trusted God. I'm just taking a new path. I'm charting a new journey here. Because it's a walk of faith. Look at the New Living Translation's rendering of this verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we live by believing. I love this. For we live by believing and not by seeing. If some of y'all went by what you were seeing, you'd be in a mess. What you were hearing, doctor said this. Are you getting me? If you live by seeing, you're going to be discouraged. If you live by seeing, but you don't live by seeing. When you came to Christ, you now live by believing, not by seeing. This is so opposite of what we know in the natural. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Well, seeing's believing. You ever heard somebody say that? Seeing's believing. I saw it with my own eyes. Seeing's believing. Well, that's in the natural. Seeing is believing is in the natural. But in the supernatural, in the life of a Christ follower, it's exactly opposite. It's not seeing is believing. It's believing is now seeing. Are you with me? Believing is now seeing. Noah's believing this download from God that he had what? Not seen. He hasn't seen it, but he heard God say it. Genesis 7, 4, the Lord said to Noah, check this out. The Lord said to Noah, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. I just wish he just left the mosquito off the boat. Okay? And snakes. I don't like snakes. But he let them back on. Two of each one, okay? Male, female. Noah has this message from God that it is going to rain, okay? Noah had never seen rain. You know why? Because rain had never been. There had never been rain. Remember last week we spoke to you on how radically different the earth was in this particular context. When Noah stepped out of the ark for the first time, he literally stepped onto a brand new planet in so many ways. This is why, listen, people who are skeptics are looking at us. Somebody talking about living 900 and some odd years. That's ludicrous. No, it's not. It's not. The Bible says that Methuselah lived 969 years. Okay? And Noah is 500 years old when the boat deal comes along. Okay? So he's living out his walk with God, and God tells him that rain is coming. Now, he's never seen rain because it's never rained. So when Noah steps out of the boat, he's stepping on a whole new planet. Before the flood, here we go, no storms. Before the flood, no floods, no tornadoes, no hurricanes. Here we go. No rain. We know this is true. Why? Because Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 read like this. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, but streams came up from the earth. Now you need to understand this. The earth is how much water anyway? Two-thirds. Two-thirds of that big ball you had sitting on the school desk when you were coming along, two-thirds of it's blue, okay? That's because it's water. Two-thirds of the earth are water. And the Bible here teaches us that this water is in the streams up from the beneath the earth. God watered the whole surface of the ground. Nobody said in that day, man, we got a good rain last night. It didn't rain. Because God had everything those plants needed underneath the surface. And it just came. Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed pouring out in fear and kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting. Up from the ground came a bubbling through. Everything he needed. I know I'm dating myself. It's all right. Everything that man needed, Hersey, was down in the ground. And it came bubbling up as it was needed. Somebody figured it out. We call it irrigation. Okay? Y'all getting this? Irrigation. God had this built-in irrigation system underneath the earth. And you see, he'd never seen it rain before. So you and I typically see rain as a what? They call it for 100% today. I'm glad we missed it. Okay? I really didn't want a full rainy day. Okay? We saw rain as a blessing. We always see rain as a blessing. Farmers need rain. We need rain. Man, it's dry. People's yards are struggling this year. How many of y'all got dead spots in your grass and you're wondering, what in the world's going on this year? Yeah, we've struggled with that. Man, a yard looks bad. Not enough rain this year. We see rain as a blessing, but I submit to you that rain, when it was first sent, was not sent as a blessing. Rain was sent as a what? A judgment. And throughout the history of man, we've seen God use the uncertainty of rain as judgment on people. At times, he would withhold rain. You've read that story. Droughts were a means of getting the attention of the people of God, and God would use rain as a form of judgment. Remember, it was water coming up from the subterranean that waters the earth. And there was a canopy. Somebody say canopy. There was a canopy above mankind. A vapor, a heavy vapor of water above mankind. That what did that do? That kept the harmful UV rays. Stores today are filled with SPF 15 and SPF 30 and SPF 50. And you guys that fish and get out in the ladies that go to the beach with the kids and whatever. Shh. You spray yourself up. Why? Because the sun will burn you. What God created will burn you. And we wouldn't be having to struggle with it now if it were not for the sinful activities of mankind. Because God had a canopy, a covering, a ceiling that was not broken until this flood came in his judgment. Okay? It was a canopy. It protected the people from UV rays, and thus man lives longer. In those days, he lived in centuries. Now man lives in what? Decades. Okay? Y'all got this? The earth was richer. The ground was better. Superfoods We had not been exposed to the disaster and the chaos of the flood, and that caused man to live longer. So Noah had never seen rain. Look at Genesis 6:17. I'm going to bring the flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish, and that's what's happened. In fact, it's marked in the Bible. Noah's got it on his iPad. He will never forget it. Okay? Genesis 7:11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on the day all of springs of the great deep burst forth and the floodgates of the heavens were open. It's kind of like marking, you know, like a 9/11 or Hurricane Floyd or whatever. Hurricane Floyd for us wiped out houses, 153 houses in Ahoskie. Hurricane Floyd. So Noah has it marked when it happened. Water from below, water from above. The earth was literally, here we go, a deluge. Are y'all getting this? It was a deluge. It was destroyed. A deluge of water from both places. Back to Hebrews 11, 7a. By faith, Noah, when warned about what? Things not seen. Noah had never seen anything like this, but guess what? God speaks, and it's his monumental faith. This is great faith. I don't see it. I've never seen before. Rain. What you talking about? Rain. Never seen no rain. But God says it's coming. So therefore, Noah prepared for it. Because this is what God was saying to him. Listen, if you have to see it to believe it, you have to have the proof. You have to be shown the evidence. If you have to have it all laid out for you, you will never walk in faith. Can I say that one more time? If you're a person sitting here today and you've got to have it all laid out for you, got to have the whole plan. How's God going to do this? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here are the steps. Then you'll never walk in faith. Sometimes God's going to ask you to do things that seem literally crazy. But God asks you, and you do what? By faith, you hear God say, move. I remember when Joy and I were like, man, we were young. I'm 19 years old. She's 17. We got married. Okay? And the Lord says, I want you in the ministry. And I was like, what? Ministry. And we step out in faith. I remember when we loaded up everything we had. I mentioned it just a few weeks ago. Loaded up everything we had on a truck and moved to Florida. What? I went to Florida. I didn't get online and look at it because there was no online to look at. Okay? We're talking about years ago. Well, let me check it. Let me find us an apartment. You're not going to do that until you get there. Then when we get there, we go to the newspaper, and we're looking for apartments for rent because you didn't get online and do stuff like that. And we get there. We had $700 in a pickle jar. I told you that. We spent it the first day. We're out. We have no money. We were completely broke day one when we landed in Florida. But guess what? God called us there. Okay? And so God made provision. It was his problem, not ours. God made provision in many miraculous ways because we saw God make provision for something that we stepped out in faith, seeing in the supernatural. Are you hearing me? Faith says, faith sees because God says, okay? God says you're healed. Then guess what? You're healed, okay? Some of y'all have a trouble with that one. You're declared healed, and then all of a sudden you say, well, it's still there. No, it's not there. God healed me yesterday. In the name of Jesus, mighty and strong God, I rebuke that thing. Get out of my body in the name of Jesus, okay? Sometimes people get healed miraculously. You say, hey, move your arm. Wow, I could never do that before. They're just about, wait, don't go too far, man. We don't want you doing backflips here. They're doing things they never could do before. Then wake up the next morning. Oh, my God. No, what? You're healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. So you have to just walk in faith. The devil says to you, some of you sitting here, check this out. The devil says, oh, you're not saved. You know you're not saved over there cussing. How many of y'all cuss? Raise your hand. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That wasn't in the notes. I'm sorry. A lot of y'all cuss, don't you? Yeah, I know. What if I did say, please raise your hand? Would you do it? Before God and these witnesses, do you cuss? Okay. Set yourself free. Tell the truth and let the Lord love you. But listen, just because you cussed doesn't mean you're going to hell. That's law. Let's just go a little deeper. Is that all right? Some of y'all smoked a joint recently. Okay. Oh, wow. I just identified several people who have an issue with pot. Okay. But listen, because you made a mistake doesn't mean that God is sitting up there with the left foot of fellowship saying, man, go to hell. I don't need you in my kingdom. That's not the way the gospel works. The gospel is a gospel of what? Grace. And just because, listen, you say, well, thank God, because I did want to smoke a little reefer. No. You don't use the gospel and the grace of God as a permission to do wrong things. I like the way y'all said amen on that. Come on. You don't use the gospel to give you a permission. Grace is a privilege. Grace gives you the right to say no to ungodly things. But when you do sin, you have an advocate. Because you got law keepers in every church. You got people sitting up on the wall watching you, waiting for you to make a mistake. Y'all are getting this stuff, aren't you? I heard him. I saw him. Did you see that post on Facebook? He ain't saved. No. Be careful, guys. Be careful. Because you know what? You're not the judge. You're not. And just as soon as you put judgment out on somebody else, you got a greater judgment coming back on you. Okay? Judge not, lest you be what? Judged also. So stop pointing your finger at people's faults, because you got your own. I think we need to start a new series right here. All right? But you got to be careful. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been what? Saved through faith. You know you're not totally set free from the flesh. You're not. You're not. If you think you are, then get in a long line of traffic on the highway and be in a hurry somewhere. If you think you're totally delivered from every spirit that ever influenced you, get in a grocery store, be in a hurry to get to the party. You had to stop and pick up something because you didn't take the time to prepare for the party. And you got to get out of here because the party starts at 2. It's 9:45. You're just now getting your store-bought cake. And you got to slice it and put it on a plate and make it look like you made it. You didn't make the cake. You bought it. Okay? And you get in line, you get all frustrated. Like, where in the world is the... What's wrong with this store? You get all in the flesh. Why? Because you are of the framework of the dirt. Okay? And so grace helps you. Grace helps you live your life gracefully. Okay? But listen, don't think you're not going to make a mistake. Okay? You're going to make mistakes. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. Man, look at this. It is the gift of God. This is a gift. I get to be declared something that I'm really not. Okay? I'm declared righteous. Because when God looks at me, he don't see Wallace. He looks at me, he sees the blood of Jesus. And he says, hey, there's one of my righteous ones. Okay? So you don't abuse it. You don't say, well, you know, we got grace. I guess I'm going to go ahead to the party. No. Grace allows you to say, no, I guess we won't be. Oh, come on. We'd love to have y'all. Nah, I guess we can, you know. And you say, we're not going to the party? Nah, we really don't need to be in that environment. What enabled you to say that? Grace. Because I know me. I don't need to be at the party. Are y'all getting this? Are you sure? I don't need to be at the party. Okay? Because at the party, this is what they're going to do. Okay? And it's not my party, because if it was my party, we wouldn't be doing that. Why? Because I'm walking in the grace of God, and I'm not setting up somebody else's ability to fail. Okay? Noah was warned. That's a sermon for another day. We're talking about faith, monumental faith. Noah had a faith that he could rest in. Okay? He could just be tranquil about it. He was at peace with himself because he was walking with God. Noah's believing what God had said, and Noah hears God give him a what? A warning. Secondly, Noah's faith resulted in Noah's work. James says it like this. Show me. In fact, the book of James, for those of you who study the Bible, the book of James was really argued about in the whole idea of canonicity. You know what I'm talking about, Pastor Noli? Canonicity. They argued about the book of James. Why? Because it's all about works, okay? So the canonical standards were in question here. Why? No, James says, listen, no, you show me your faith and I will show you my works, okay? Okay? If you want a deeper study on that, just talk to me. We'll talk about that. But James says faith without works is dead. Okay? So this is what Noah does. By faith, Noah, when he was warned, that was the first part. Look at what I've underscored this time. When he was warned by God, what did he do? Get the tools. Give me that chainsaw. Come on, get me a steel, and I'm going to build an ark. He probably used a steel chainsaw because McCulloch's are no good. Polans are cheap. Okay? So he's cutting down trees. And the first tree he cut down was an act of faith. Boom, timber. It's an act of faith. What are you doing? I'm building an ark. His faith caused him, yes, to be warned, but his faith caused him to do what? Get a chainsaw. Build a boat. Build this boat, man. Noah's faith produced something in him. You see, faith builds you into the person that you're becoming. Don't miss this, guys. Faith builds you. You're not where you used to be, okay? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I baptize you. When you get up out of the waters of baptism, out of the altar of faith, you walk forward, here we go, to be the man, the woman that God has called you to be, okay? You have a future, and you're moving toward your future. Why? Because of faith in God. Faith caused me to believe in God. Now faith caused me to work out my salvation in Christ. This is blessing me if it ain't blessing you. You work out your salvation. Come on, CSIC. Love, win, what? Build, sin. You're building yourself. You're sitting here this morning. Why? In fact, why are you here anyway? Today's Sunday. Don't you want to relax? Do what you want to do? No. You worship God because today's the first day of the week. It's Sunday. We have a service at 10 o'clock. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We'll go somewhere this afternoon. But today, we're going to the church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, because I'm going to come in and I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to declare His worth. And I'm going to sit under the Word of God, rightly divided truths of God, because God's building me. Come on, somebody. God's building me. He's building my life, okay? And I want to be built. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm built. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, you are. I notice you. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Don't do it. I'm being built. God is building me, okay? God's building me. Noah's faith resulted in Noah's work. God starts using him to build. And Noah's got this monumental faith because he has fear of the Lord. Have you ever heard anybody say this? You ever heard this, Hersey? Man, I fear God. Okay? I hear people talking about, you know, their tithes and stuff like that. Oh, man, I tithe. You say, why do you tithe? Man, I fear God. Well, you go to church? Yeah, you go to church. Why do you go to church? But I fear God, brother. It's not I'm scared of God. Fear doesn't mean I'm scared, okay? That's Carolina talk for scared, okay? Okay. Fear doesn't mean I'm scared, okay? When I say I fear God, fear is an amazing term that is Hebrew that means a trust that has awe to it. It is a reverential trust in God. The Bible says in Psalms, "Hearken unto me, O my children, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Psalm 34:11. "Hearken unto me, O my children, I will teach you the trust in God." "Hearken unto me, O my children, I'll teach you to have an awe about God." Have you ever been walking across the yard on a day and all of a sudden some major thunder hits you? Boom, bum, 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 bum. And you say, "Oh, bless you, Jesus. Why'd you say that?" Because who's behind that? God's behind it. Okay? And you have a fear of God. Again, not scared, but you know that He has an awesome hand. With His finger, He made the world. Okay? So you fear God. You fear God. You trust God. You trust Him. Fear is a reverence. Noah's about to walk in that God trust, that divine sense of knowing. Seeing by faith, knowing because you know, because you know, because you know that God's got this. Noah gets it. He has what the Bible says is a holy fear. Okay? Man, people say, "I fear God." Okay. It's a holy fear. It's a holy trust in the Lord. You know, I just paid my tithes just a couple of days ago electronically on my phone. You know why? Because I fear God. Okay? Because He said, "Bring the tithe into the storehouse that there might be food in my house, and see if I won't throw open." Not going to casually raise the windows up. I'm going to throw them open. Okay? "And see if I won't pour out for you blessings." And that's only for those who tithe. Let that settle for just a second. That means if you don't tithe, then you've set your own personal finances up for a curse. That's why you have more flat tires than your friends do. That's why your washing machine's blown up. That's why your shoes wear out before everybody else's. Are y'all getting this now? It's a principle. I thought you said you weren't preaching the law. I'm not preaching the law. I'm preaching principle. Listen, I believe, somebody say, "Pastor believes, even if you're not a Christian," come on, say it, "God will honor the tithe." Why? Because it's principle. I know people that tithe that aren't Christians. And guess what God's done to their lives? He's blessed them because it's a principle of God. It's called the law of what? Law of harvest. And if you don't understand the law of harvest, that means you give and He gives back more than you could ever imagine. Some of y'all don't tithe and you're thieves. I'm just being kind enough to tell you the truth. Man, it's quiet in here. You don't tithe. "Well, I'm going to." Well, you can hold off. God's got a higher percentage rate than beneficial finance. Help me out of this hole, Pastor Mike. I'm telling the truth. That's the truth. It's not a hole. It's the truth. God will let you pay it later, but then you owe Him more. God, give me the grace to be a tither, okay? All right. Amen. So you walk in a what? A holy fear. Reason why the man's building the boat is why? Because he fears God. God said it's going to rain, man. It's going to rain. God said not only is it going to rain, I'm going to destroy everything on the earth. And God said what? Build a boat. That's why I said to you earlier, I believe Noah is the greatest example of faith the Bible has. He heard God say this, and there was nothing he could say about rain. And he heard God say it. Fear the Lord, Proverbs 1:7 says what? Let's speed right through this. Fear the Lord's beginning of what? Knowledge. The real smarts you need are the smarts to trust God, okay? Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is beginning of what? Wisdom. What's wisdom? Knowledge applied. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord will do what? Make you live longer. The fear of the Lord adds length to life. There's one other thing you can do to live longer. What's that? Do what your mom and dad said. Come on, is it true or not? Honor your father and mother that what? That your days on the Lord, on the earth, the Lord your God gives you will be what? Lengthened or longer. So you can live longer by honoring your parents, And you can live longer by having fear in God, a fear of God. Proverbs 16:6. Through the fear of the Lord, a man can avoid evil. If you trust God, you can avoid evil in your life. Okay? Proverbs 14:26. Those who fear the Lord are secure. That means if you don't fear the Lord, you're insecure. Proverbs 22:4. Humility and fear of the Lord bring you what? Wealth, honor, and life. So you can obtain wealth by fearing God. How does that work? We just talked about it. If you fear God, you're going to do what? You're going to tithe. If you tithe, God's going to multiply finances back into your life. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men pour into your lap. You cannot outgive God. J.C. Penney, blessed his heart, he had a department store. He said, I've tried to outgive God. I've tithed. I've given 20%. I even moved to 50, and I cannot outgive God. Amen? You can't do it. Tithing is a biblical principle that needs to be followed by every one of you. You know, we had an offering earlier. I cash out $5. Are you making $50 a week? That's what you're living off of? Come on, do the math, guys. You say, Pastor, you're talking about money. You know why? Because we need your money. Pastor said we need your money. Yes. Why? Because we have a church. This is a big house. Our light bill's bigger than yours. Okay? It's a big light bill. All right? Bring the tithes into where? The storehouse. So there may be what? Meat in my house. Okay, so we need your money. Because when we get your money, Cash App, PayPal, CSIC app, cash check, we'll take it any kind of way. And once we receive it, not only are we blessed, but guess what? You are blessed. Finances are poured back into your life. Why do you give? I hear people say, well, I don't give so I can be blessed. You got it all wrong. You know why I give? So God will bless me. Pastor, say that again. Do you know why I give? God said it, and God will bless me. Are y'all getting this? Man, I hate to say that I was given because I wanted God to bless me. Why not? He told you to do that. Okay. Luke 6. 38. Let's read it together. Give, and you will what? Receive. Your gift, somebody say my gift, will return to me in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make what? More room. Running over, poured into your lap. I love this last part. The amount you give will determine what you get back. Okay? Come on now. The amount you give determines what you will get back. Wow. It sounds like to me that God wants me to have more. He does. He does. That's why he created a plan that's clear as a bell. You give to me just 10. I don't want 20, 30, 40%. Just give me 10%. It's a tithe. T-I-T-H-E. Tenth part. Just give me 10 out of every 100 that comes into your bank account. And I'll just start opening windows, pouring out blessings upon you. Just 10%. Because you understand the law of the harvest. And when you fear God enough to do it, well, I'm going to start after today. No, start right now. Catch an usher somewhere. Hey, I need to give you some money. Why? Because the pastor's preaching on something that convicted me this morning. Go ahead and do it today. Because you say, I'm going to start next week or next month when I get paid. That's a good idea. You know why? Because tomorrow is the next month. Okay? All right? Tomorrow is the next month. So it's a good time to start. Okay? Amen. Got to love it. Pastor, we're struggling. You wouldn't be struggling if you were working it through God's economy. Come on, that's good. Come on, clap your hands. You wouldn't be struggling if you were working it through God's economy, okay? The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. This is the fear of the Lord. Psalm 85:9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. trusting God. And what God called him to was out there. It was so different. Listen to what he says, Genesis 6:13. And God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Listen, America needs to wake up. America needs to wake up. We need repentance. We need salvation. We need to fear the Lord. We need to trust him because God is going to judge the world. He's going to judge the world. Verse 14, so look at what he says. So make for yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it. And look, I love this part. Coat it with pitch. You got any pitch in your barn? It's a tar-like substance. Coat it with pitch. It's all in the Bible. When Moses was born, they found a vessel, same analogy, found a vessel. What was it? A basket. Remember the story? Come on, kids, church. Remember the story? They put Moses, they found him, put him in the bulrushes, put him in a basket. But they put him in a basket that was covered with pitch. Why? So it won't leak. Okay? Then this, not basket, but it's a vessel, comes up here in the Noah story that is huge. And the Lord calls Noah to make this ark and cover it with what? Pitch. The word for pitch in the Hebrew is translated in the Greek, atonement. Okay? Wow, man, come on. In other words, what does it do? It covers you. You know what kind of pitch you got on you? Y'all get this now. You know what kind of pitch you got on you? You got pitch from the cross. It's called blood. Jesus' blood covers you so you won't sink. Are y'all getting this? You won't sink because you've got pitch on your life. Jesus' blood was shed. That's the pitch that enables you to float today with the grace of God in your life. If y'all don't like this, I do. I just like it. I think I'm going to get baptized again. Amen. You got pitch in your life. Blood of Jesus. God says, make an ark. And that's what he did. He says, this is how you build it. Genesis 6:15. This is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. It's a football field and a half long. Here's a guy who's never even been fishing. He don't have a boat. He don't have a Grady White nor a bass boat or anything. He's just building this boat because God said build it. It's a football field and a half long. It's a half of a football field wide, and you're not going to be able to find one of these at Bass Pro Shop. Not going to happen. They got one out there in Kentucky somewhere. How many of y'all have been to see it? Praise the Lord. I understand it's a magnificent thing to see. But God, listen, Noah has a number of reasons where he could not have done this. Number one, it's a tall order. It's a major feat just to build this boat. Number two, rain has never happened. What makes you think it's going to happen now? Number four, the human race has already billions of people in it. And then number five, then you have the reality that he's been preaching this message about why he's building this boat, and nobody has signed up to want to get on it. No converts. Nobody's in. 120 years. Turn with me in your Bibles to. He's preaching for 120 years. Not a single soul came to the altar. But Noah has monumental faith. Faith that sees what nobody else can see. Faith that hears God say, do it, and he's willing. Faith that does impossible things. He heard the warning, now he's doing the working. Here's a good statement for you. He has proven this because the way you prove what you believe is by what you do. Are y'all getting this? The way you prove what you believe is by what you do. I believe God will bless. That's why I tithe. I believe God will honor. That's why I come to church. I believe God will fulfill his promises. That's why I try to learn them all. Okay? You show what you believe by what you do. Listen to this. Say all day long, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But if you don't confess your sins and ask Him into your heart, you don't believe it a bit. Your actions speak louder than your words. Okay? Number three, Noah's faith perceived wickedness. Noah's faith perceived wickedness. Hebrews 11, 7. Look at the third part of it. I underscored it for you. By his faith, he did what? He condemned the world. What does that mean, Pastor? By his faith, he made people agitated. By his faith, people got upset because just being in his presence was troubling. It was a wicked world he was in. I'm going to say something here that most preachers just skip right over, but I'm just going to say it. Genesis chapter 6. You want to see how wicked the world was? Here it is. You know, Joy and I were in a movie the other day, and I was like, man, I don't want to, that's stupid. I don't want to watch that. I can't watch anything that's like crazy with this ideas of life somewhere else. And no, just give me Rambo or something. You know, just give me something where people can, you know, punch you in the face and keep on going, or defend the military or whatever, or even you know, some Disney movie or something. But these things that have all this crazy stuff that I can't even understand, I don't want to watch it. You know, there's something crazy in the Bible? Did you know that? Check this out. Genesis 6, 1 to 7. Listen closely. I'm going to try to take it slow so you'll get it. When human beings began to increase, babies, on the earth, and daughters were born to them. Say, he's reading the Bible. Come on. Daughters were born to them. Verse 2, the sons of God. Let's stop right there. Who are the sons of God? These are angelic beings. These are evil angelic beings. Remember, a third of the angels did what? They fell from heaven. Okay? And there are evil angels and evil spirits. The sons of God, the evil spirits, looked upon the daughters of humans and thought, wow, like, look at that. They were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit's not always going to contend for humans forever, for they're mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans. Say that again, Pastor. When the sons of God, when the evil spirits went to the daughters of human beings and had children by them. Are y'all wrapped up in the movie yet? Y'all getting this? Most preachers just skip over it, Hersey. But here it is in the Bible. When the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown, unusual human beings. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of this race had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was really only evil all the time. The Lord, verse 6, regretted that he had even made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I've created, and with them the animals and the birds and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made what these guys have become. That's why you have the flood coming. The Bible teaches us that there were evil angels and those who rebelled against God. They call them the sons of God. They were evil angels. They came down to earth and they cohabitated with women, human beings, women, and they produced this quasi-human demonized offspring that terrorized the earth. Are y'all getting this? Somebody say, that's deep, Pastor. It is. It's true. They produced this quasi-human, demonized offspring that the Bible says terrorized the earth. Scripture doesn't give us much detail. I wish it did, but it doesn't. But it must have been extremely wicked, whacked, crazy. And to add to that, you have the wicked line of Cain that has proliferated and become increasingly more wicked. And there's so much wickedness that we've discovered in our storyline today that God has already said he was going to do away with human beings. And wickedness so grieved his heart. It breaks his heart. But then the contrast to the evil, you have Noah. One man. We had a guy who walked with God, and what happened? God took him. Enoch's translated, and God takes him away. Verse 8 and 9 of Genesis 6. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Noah was a what? A righteous man. The only, somebody say only, the only blameless person living on the earth at that time. How many? One man. And the Bible says he did what? He walked with God. You remember the phrase, he walked with God? And that means he pleased God. He had monumental faith. Noah was different. As Christians, can I just tell you something? We are different. We're not like other people. You say, well, man, I know that to be true. I work at so-and-so and so, and I go to work, and oh, my goodness, you can't believe. Man, you can't believe what these people talk about they did on the weekend when they come back to work. Come on, guys. Are y'all working with anybody like that? They talk about a bunch of trash they did on the weekend. You know why? Because they're not like you. They're not like you. They're different. You're different. We don't talk like other people talk. We don't think like other people think. We don't act like other people act. We don't respond like other people respond. We are different. How different are we? 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Here we go. You are a what? Peculiar people. What does peculiar mean? It's an adjective that describes people who follow Jesus. What are they like? They are strange, odd, and unusual. That's how you are, okay? You are strange, odd, and unusual by the world's standard. Are y'all getting this? You're a chosen generation. You were called out of the crowd to be a what? A peculiar people. I know this is heavy, but if I don't give this to you, I'm not doing my job. Okay? I know it's heavy. Evil angels had relations with women. Pastor, what's he talking about? Read the Bible. It's in there. Craziness. So crazy that God says, this is crazy. I'm going to wipe it off the earth. Don't let it surprise you. It shook God up too. Okay? And you're called to be different. Like nobody else. Don't be like everybody else. And see, the danger that we have, this is tough, but I'm going to say it. The danger what they have today in the world is that the church is so trying to look so much like the world that can they even differentiate us from them? Okay? I'm just asking. You're different. Mom, why can't we do that? We're different. It's okay to tell your kids we are different. We don't do that. We don't behave like that. Don't ostracize them and say, you're not going to do that, young man. No, we don't do that. Thank you, Dr. James Dobson, for educating me and telling me years ago not to tell my kids, you're not going to behave that way. No, we don't behave that way. Why? Because we're different. We're different. I remember trying to blend in when I was a kid. I remember when I got my license, 1962 International Scout, I paid $500 for it. Going to Elizabeth City for the first time, driving my little truck all around Elizabeth City, pulled into the 7-Eleven and got me a bottle of apple juice. When my friends passed me on the highway, doot, 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 hold my apple juice up. Why? Because I was scared to drink, but at least I got a bottle that
looks like beer.
Because what am I trying to do? I'm trying to blend in. Are y'all hearing me? I'm trying to, Pastor, you're old. I know it, but I'm still here. And while I'm here, I'm going to tell you what I did, okay? At least I looked like I had a beer. And then guess what finally happened? If you want to look like that and look like that and look like that, eventually you will do that. So I remember I could take you to the spot, highway, down at the Outer Banks, mile post 7. The convenience store is still there. I'm sitting in the back seat with guys that are older than me. Hey, what you want to drink? I said very boldly, give me a Miller. What? I said to myself, what? Give me a Miller. Why did I do that? Because I just so desperately want to be accepted and affirmed. Goop, 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 goop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I could have played Otis on the Andy Griffith Show. But you know what I did by wanting to be not different? I discovered that I have a propensity toward alcoholism. And I went down a long, winding path that drank in the morning when the sun came up. No ham and eggs for me. How about some beer? And I had a drinking problem that it took me a long time to get delivered from. But at least I looked like everybody else. Okay. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? You are different. You're different. You're not like the rest of the world. But I just love beer. It tastes good. That's a lie from hell. It doesn't taste good. I don't care what name you put on it. You can even call it something glorious like Heineken. You can call it anything you want to. Beer doesn't taste good. Okay? But at least I'm like everybody else. Can you have a wedding today and take a picture and not be holding one? Was that really the most important thing the day that happened? Was that you had a beer in your hand or a glass of wine in your hand or a mixed drink in your hand? Chicka, chicka, chicka. And I says, yeah, we're happy. No, you're not. You're not happy. You know what you are? You're a peculiar people. That you should do what? Show forth the praises of him who called you out. Here we go, right here. You were baptized. You said to everybody, I am different. Okay. My preacher people are looking at me like, man, he's going for broke today. I'm only doing what I feel like the Lord is telling me to do. Okay. Some of y'all are playing with stuff you have no business playing with. And then let me tell you another thing that will shock you. What your kids see you do in moderation, they will do with a whole lot more emphasis. If your kids see you do this moderately, then they'll go full blown. Oh, she only drinks occasionally. He only drinks occasionally. Then they're destined to be alcoholics because they'll do it bigger than you did. And then you'll be saying, I don't know how this happened. Come on, guys, get it right. Get it right. You're trusted with human beings to be raising them. And you are a what? A peculiar people that teaches everybody you came out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. Noah was different, man. 120 years. Repent. Repent. Get in the boat. Nobody believed him. But one day it started thundering. The canopy was busted. reign, not 4 hours, not 40 hours, 40 days. All the deluge from above, all the 70% of the earth from beneath. The earth was captured between two tremendous powers of water. And everything was destroyed. But there was a boat, a football field and a half long, with a husband and a wife, their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And they're on the boat hanging out with donkeys. Hee-haw! Hee-haw! And elephants and hippopotamuses. They're riding across planet Earth on the water with a bunch of animals. These folks are strange. You're right. They're peculiar. Okay. You can fire me tomorrow and send me on down the road, but can I just tell you something? When I stand before you to preach the gospel, I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? I'm going to tell you the truth. You can fire me if you like. We need another preacher. He's gotten too brassy. It's going to get more brassy the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus, okay? Let me get back to my notes. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and seven other members of his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. The NIV calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. He was willing to proclaim the truth and to warn people of the coming judgment. Can I just tell you, as we come to a close here today, can I just tell you, somebody said, finally. That's okay. I'm all right. Can I just tell you, there is coming another judgment. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? There is coming another judgment. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is a coming rapture of the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with God's Spirit, is going to be taken from this earth. And if you can't live for God today with an earth that is filled with the Spirit of God, how are you going to live on the earth with no Spirit? How? When you snatch the Spirit from the earth. Because where is God's Spirit? Boom! In the temple. Where's the temple? Jerusalem. No, it's your body. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God lives inside of you. And if you take all of that away, then begins the 7 years. A literal hell on earth. The time of Jacob's trouble. The tribulation. When the various bowls and the vials are each opened. And God's judgment and God's wrath is released out on the earth. You can think what you want to. When I preach a message like this, when I'm done, I ain't worth 5 cents. Just give me some tea. This is hard work. It's hard work. Because my soul is in it. My mind. My will. My emotions. I love Jesus. And I'm going to stand in front of him one day. And I do want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servants. You never soft-pedaled my word.
But you rightly divided the word of truth. You can justify your behaviors. We do it all the time. But you're going to stand before God, not with my opinions. You're going to be judged against the word of God. Noah was warned. Second point, Noah went to work. Third point, his presence put people very unrestless. When you're saved and you're born again, you're filled with God's Spirit, when you walk into the room, people get restless. I was around someone not too long ago that was not a believer, and they were just manifesting all up and down their body. They couldn't stay still. They couldn't sit still. And I thought, this is a shame. God, I thank you that I'm saved, but your presence in me is causing that demon to manifest. He was miserable. He was miserable. He couldn't stand still. The presence of God brings peace. And this person was not at peace. He was miserable. Why? Because Noah's life brought condemnation to the world. Your life makes people miserable. Why? Because you're different. Okay? You got it? Come on, tell your neighbor. You're different. You're different. Fourth and final point, I'm going to quit preaching because I've been preaching long enough. The fourth point is this. Noah's faith received a wealthy, 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 wealthy inheritance. Look at Hebrews 11:7. Last part of that verse, it simply says, he became an heir. I've underscored it for you. He became an heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with the faith. Noah received his inheritance. He's got monumental faith. He's pleasing God. He's walking with God. And he becomes an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You place your faith in Christ and you receive what Christ has for you. You become a child of God. I hate this. I hate this. I heard people say this before, Rico. We're all children of God. No, we're not. We are not all children of God. You're not. You're only a child of God when you are adopted in. Man, I understand adoption more than I ever have. Because I got adopted grandchildren, and I have people that have the audacity to walk up to me sometime and say, is that your grandchild? Yeah, that's the grandchild. One of yours or one of the other ones? Somebody leaned into Joy just a few weeks ago and said, don't tell me that you love those adopted ones just like you do those blood ones. I watched them do that. Joy said, ho, ho, ho. I love them the same. Anybody have an adopted child in here? Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You love them the same. And so you and I, we're not born children of God. We get adopted into the family. Okay? And we received adoption into the family of God. And then you become, here we go, you're related to Jesus. How? You become his brother. Okay? You become the brother of Jesus. Yeah, I'm his adopted brother. Okay? Who's the father? Father God. Okay? Okay? You're adopted. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm adopted, man. I'm adopted. And even though I'm adopted, I get all the benefits. I get all the benefits, even though I'm adopted. Repentance and confession. It's amazing to me that the ark was made of wood, and so was the cross. And the ark had pitch on it that covered the vessel so that all between the cracks, here we go, I love this, the judgment couldn't get in. Okay. Y'all getting this? The judgment couldn't get in, Mother Jenny. And on the cross of Calvary, he shed the pitch. And when his pitch is applied to my life, the judgment can't get in. Okay, come on, church. Come on, guys. The judgment can't get in. Come on, man. The blood of Jesus covers all my sins, past, present. This is going to jack some of y'all's theology all to pieces, and future. Okay? Everything you will ever do wrong, he's already settled the penalty for it. Okay? Everything. So I'm just going to walk in his grace, which is not a license to do wrong. It really liberates me to live my life in a manner that's pleasing unto God. My question for you today is this, just a simple question. I finally made it to the end of the sermon. I'm at the end. And my question for you is this. Are you in the boat? Okay, that's it. Are you in the boat? Are you listening to me today? And you say, Pastor, man, I need to get into the boat. I need to get into the ark of God's safety and be protected from the judgment that is to come. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, some of you heard people here baptized today said, this is for me really a rededication. Because I did it when I was 12, but now I know because I know because I know. Are you here today, Pastor? I just need to get into the boat. Come on, just stand up right where you are. Come on, don't waste any time. Come on, just stand up. I just need to get into the boat, okay? I need to get into the ark of God's safety. Come on, anybody else? I just need to get into the boat. I need to make sure that the pitch is, if I'm covered, I just need to get into the boat. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, let God deal with your heart. I need to make a reconnect, Pastor. I need to just make sure everything is well. Let's all stand together, could we? Could I have some preachers here at the front? Help me out. I'm going to send you a few people. Maybe others of you that'll, and you guys just know that behind these steps there are decision cards, the other side of those steps. If you have someone that makes a rededication of their faith, or gives their heart to Jesus, come on, fill out a card with them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you just need, maybe you're here today and you'd say, man, I just sure would love some prayer, okay? I need some prayer today. I've got people here ready. It doesn't take long. They're ready to minister to you, okay? Going through a hardship, Pastor. Going through some rough seas. I have people here to pray for you. Come on out of your seat. Come on. Come on, just step out of your seat and let someone pray with you. Come on, guys. Don't play around. Just come on, step out of your seat. Let someone agree with you, pray with you, speak the peace of God over you. They're ready to minister to you. That's right. That's right. Come on. There's still some. Come on. There's still some to be released from your seat and just come and receive the blessing of God. That's right. Going through a challenge right now, Pastor. Just come. Just come. You need healing today. Need a touch in your body today. Come on. Need a touch in your body for healing today. Just step out of your seat. Come on, dear. Hallelujah.
Because it's who you are. way maker, and you're a promise keeper, and you're a healer, and you're a deliverer, and you're a way maker, and you're faithful, and you're holy, and you're sovereign, and you're mighty, and you're good God.
Thank you so much. Come on, give him a hand. Father, we thank you for the way that you move in our hearts, Lord, that you touch us. God, we worship you today, and we thank you for setting us free. God, we thank you for the salvations today. God, we thank you for the baptisms today. Lord, we thank you that you've healed and you've delivered us today. God, we ask that you would continue to move in our midst, that you would continue to transform us day after day, week after week. Lord, that you would bring the spirit of revival, Father, and fan the flame, Lord, that you're stirring here, that you're kindling here. We thank you, God, for who you are. And I speak a blessing over every individual standing here today, that we would go out this week carrying the anointing and the presence of God, that we would be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give God a hand of praise.
Thank you, Pastor. If you're here today and you made a decision for Christ or commitment to the Lord Jesus and you say, man, I wish I could be baptized. The pool has water in it, okay? You say, well, yeah, I don't have a change of clothes. Behind the baptistry over there are three sets of clothing, okay? So you're like the eunuch here. You don't have any reason that we can't baptize you. So if you want to be baptized, you made a decision of faith and you'd like to do that, just make your way to the front. We'll baptize you and give you a set of dry clothes to put on. Can't get any easier than that, can it? Amen. Anybody? Anybody at all? Praise God. Love you guys. I know that messages like today are challenging. I make no apology for the Word of God. It's the truth. And the truth does what? It sets us free. Okay, so walk out of here today with the reality that the Word of God is deposited into your spirit. Go home, review it. Some of you have told me in the recent weeks, you say, man, I listened to the sermon again on Tuesday or Wednesday. Anybody do that? Anybody go back and listen? Amen. Just go back. I listen to our services sometimes another two times during the week. I'll go back and I'll listen to the message. You say, well, you preached it. Still, I want to see what's happening here and the response and the presentation and what we're doing. So, again, we appreciate our backline. Give it up for our backline people that are serving back there. Lights, technology, live stream, cameras, all those things. make a huge difference in what God is enabling us to do, not only here, but across the globe. And we appreciate all of you. God bless you. Have an amazing Sunday, and enjoy your day. Praise God. God bless you. God, we got somebody here who wants to be baptized.